Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, how did you become a clown doctor? What led you down this path?
Well, I have a background in performing in theatre and comedy and that sort of stuff. And I used to be a puppeteer, and I got sort of more into physical comedy in my 20s. And I guess when I found out about clown doctors from a friend who does it in Melbourne, it just seemed like my dream job, because it was like kids and getting to be silly all day and play and, you know, try and, you know, help sick kids have a fun time. And so it was just, to me, like the ultimate, you know, bringing together of all of these things that I love.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What would a typical day be for a clown doctor? Is there such a thing?
It's kind of crazy, because a typical day is such like it's like the whole spectrum of experiences and kids that you meet and ages of kids and things that they're going through. Like, for example, like I had a round the other day with a clown turn. So someone I'm mentoring. So we
I
call
love
them clown
that.
Turns.
I love
yeah.
that.
You have like a clown turnship that goes for a year, and you get mentored by a couple of members of the team, and you sort of learn the art of clown doctoring. And we had just been in it was like a neurological ward, and we were with a tiny baby and her mum, and her mum was really stressed, as you can imagine, and so we just sort of sung really sort of soft, gentle songs on our ukuleles and chatted to the mum and gave her a little gentle back massage.
And beautiful.
It was all very lovely and sweet. And then the next room we go into, it's like a 10-year-old girl and she was also with her mum, and her mum was sort of making her drink this like a fizzy drink, because she had to get a lot of fluids in, right? And she had to sort of scull this liquid, and she was finding it hard to get down, and she let out this little burp as she was drinking. She was drinking a soft drink, and she sort of giggled, and she had been sort of quite solemn, so it was like a kind of a cool sign that she had giggled. And I sort of looked at my fellow clown doctor and I said, well, Dr. Yeah, my colleague, has been, you know, practicing her burping all day. I've been coaching her. And, you know, I was wondering if you guys could have a little, you know, burp off.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
See if she's up to scratch. And so her mum thinks that this is a great idea, because it's like a way that she can, you know, keep drinking her drink. And her mum's like, okay, let's go out into the hallway so we don't disturb, you know, the sleeping kid in the bed next. And so we're out in this hallway. And the little girl's like sculling her drink, and Dr. Yeah is like, you know, chugging back a cup of water, and I'm like doing a little sort of like intro and blowing my kazoo trumpet, and it's like 3, 2, 1, and you know, they start like just like burping at each other in the hallway, and there's like doctors and nurses walking past, and you know, like I'm sort of like corralling them into being the cheer squad and audience. And it was, like, really silly. And of course, the girl won. Dr. Yeah's birthing just wasn't quite up to scratch. And we gave her, like, a little red SpongeBob clown nose as a prize.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And it was so silly and just ridiculous. And
That's
as we were
amazing.
Kind of walking away, her mum just sort of tapped me on the arm and said, thank you. I haven't heard her laugh like that in over 2 months. And this is really amazing. And for me, it was, like, you get so wrapped up in a moment of, like, you know, a burp Olympics, and you kind of just having fun and playing, but yeah, you sort of realize like, oh, that's right, you remember that this is a hospital and these kids are so stressed and their parents are even more stressed, and yeah, like you do something that is just really silly and a bit weird and fun, and it's a really cool thing.
That's amazing. This must be such a rewarding, I guess those little moments would be just amazing for you as a clown doctor. What would you say is the most rewarding part of your work? Is it when you get to see the kids laugh? Is it when, you know, you brighten someone's day, or is it, you know, seeing them go home?
Absolutely. It's all of these things. And we've been at the hospitals for 20 years now in some of the hospitals in Sydney. And so we've got quite a great relationship with the hospitals. And when we first started, like, it was literally a like these like a bunch of kind of rat bags who walked in and were like, hey, what do you think about clowns in hospitals? You know, Patch Adams and all this stuff was happening in New York, but it was, you know, so new, and people were a bit skeptical. But now, you know, it's such a, like, they love us and they welcome us, and we love being there. And I guess it's a combination of seeing kids that we develop relationships over the years with who are in and out of hospital for, you know, long-term illnesses, and getting to form relationships with them, and then seeing them, you know, kind of go home and when they're better, and developing relationships with the staff as well,
and the families too, I'm sure.
Absolutely, these amazing parents and siblings who are, you know, it's really tough for them too. But yeah, just kind of making these little buddies who kind of, I mean, it's one of those things where we don't want to keep seeing the kids in the hospital, but like, if they have to be there, then kind of, you know, we're kind of lucky to hang out with them.
Yeah. Now, I understand that you're not just working with children, but also elderly patients as well in kind of aged care facilities as an elder clown. That must be a very different experience.
It is. So in the hospitals, where we call ourselves clown doctors, and we have that sort of, I guess, inspired by Patch Adams, like we wear these white coats and they've got, you know, colourful patches and fabrics, and we've got stethoscopes and, you know, ridiculous clothes. And and in elder clowning, in the aged care facilities, we're not clown doctors. Where we sort of wear 1940s and 50s kind of style clothes, like, you know, dresses, and the gentlemen wear, you know, these like lovely high pants with suspenders and little hats and you know, bow ties and things. And so it's more of a kind of I guess like playing on a bit of nostalgia and reminiscence from, especially with people who have dementia, guess like harking back to an era that they're familiar with and that they were young in and have good memories of. And the work is certainly kind of really different in lots of ways, and really, and a lot of similarities too. There's a lot of music and a lot of kind of chatting and storytelling. And I guess with dementia, you know, everyone's experience of dementia is different, and so there's not like a typical what, you know, a person with dementia is like, and certainly on any given day it can be different too. But it's also very, like, the, you know, those environments are a lot sort of slower and gentler, and there's, I don't know, you're meeting people who are 80, 90 or over 100 years old who have these incredible lives and stories, and so it's kind of getting to know a person over a long period of time, because we visit regularly, and I guess getting to know them and finding stuff that they love and that they're interested in and songs that they really like. And just, yeah,
that's,
I mean,
amazing.
I had with a gentleman I see quite regularly who had sort of had gotten quite ill, and had his dementia was quite advanced, and he had stopped talking. In the early days when I was seeing him, he was pretty chatty. He was kind of this blokey bloke who used to be a surf lifesaver at Bondi, and he stopped sort of talking, and we'd sit and I'd tinkle a bit of music, and we'd, you know, exchange a few words. But I was sort of looking for other ways to, I guess, connect with him, and I remembered him telling me that he used to be a boxer, like a sort of amateur boxer. And so we were sitting in a sort of like lovely warm silence one day, and I reached into my basket and I blew up just a balloon, like a regular balloon, and I sort of kind of bopped it with my fist and kind of without words, like, kind of asked him to give me a boxing lesson. And so I held it out to him, and he gave it a few, you know, a little like right hook, and gave it a little 1-2, and it was this lovely way for us to, without words, like, I don't know, have a little moment
connect
to kind of, teach me something. And now we have these weird kind of silent boxing classes, which is great.
This is amazing. This is so beautiful because these kind of aged care facilities as well can be quite bleak places and quite depressing almost places. People with dementia do kind of have a very long battle ahead of them towards the end of their life. So to bring in that joy and to bring in that nostalgia, to bring in that just a little bit of sunshine is such a gorgeous thing that you're doing, Sabrina. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap it up really, really quickly. But for anyone out there who want to support the Clown Doctors, who want to get involved, what's the best way? Are donations the best way to get involved?
Oh, absolutely. We're a completely non-government funded charity. And so we rely on, donations and a lot of fundraising. You can pop onto our website, which is humourfoundation.org.au, and just throw us some loose change. That would be wonderful.
Sabrina, you're an amazing person. You're doing incredible work for young and old. Unfortunately, as I said, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you so much for joining us this morning and explaining a little bit about what you do.
Thank you so much for having me, Jess.